Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So the prophet Micah from the book of Micah, I think he has some words that we really need to hear today. He says, "What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." Now, you may think that Micah is preaching like during a pretty easy time, but not everything is going great for him. He's preaching in the midst of heavy turmoil. Things in his country are not going well. The Assyrian army has come and taken over the land. He is being occupied, and his people are being driven out. And in the midst of that, in the midst of facing oppression, in the midst of turmoil, he calls for justice and loving kindness and walking humbly with God. But what does it mean to do justice? Well, the Hebrew word for justice is mishpat. And in all of its assorted forms, it occurs more than 200 times in the Old Testament. Mishpat, or justice, it's a really big deal for those who follow the God of the Bible. It's actually right up there with love. And basically, justice means to treat everybody equitably. It means to acquit or punish every individual based on their own merit and the merit of the situation. Anyone who does the same wrong should be given the same punishment. But justice is more than just punishment for wrongdoing. It also means something like giving a person their rights. Deuteronomy 18, it says that the priest who facilitate the sacrifice should be supported by the people's income. And the support is described as the priest's justice. It's their due. It's their right. So justice means to give people their due, whether it's punishment or protection or care. And there's this really important trend that comes up anytime you see the word justice in the Old Testament. There are these several classes of people that are mentioned over and over and over again. Justice, according to the Bible, is taking up the care and the cause of widows, of orphans, of immigrants, and the poor. These groups have been called the quartet of the vulnerable. And so if you ever side against widows and orphans and immigrants and the poor, you are siding against the group that God defends. Let me say that another way. If you ever side against widows, orphans, immigrants, and the poor, God promises to defend those people against you. I mean, these four groups, they have no social power. In Micah's times, these four groups, they lived at subsistent levels at any moment. They were only days away from starvation and famine, and if there was even minor social unrest, they would die. And in today, I think this quartet can be expanded to include refugees and migrant workers and the homeless. And there are many single parents that fit in this category. And there's many elderly people that fit in this category as well. See, the mishpat, or the justice of a society, according to the Bible, is judged on how we treat those people. And any neglect shown to the needs of the members of these groups, it's not merely called like a lack of mercy or charity, but it's a violation of mishpat, not the world's justice, but God's justice. And for all of human history, friends, including today, social power and economic contribution has equaled a person's worth. But God loves and defends those with the least economic and the social power. And God calls us to love those people too. That's what it means to do justice. The whole trajectory of biblical history has been to include more and more people into God's presence and for us to see those people as worthy of dignity and honor and respect. God has been trying to get us to draw bigger and bigger circles around ourselves to eventually encompass the whole world. And God does that today with us. So we all have social circles that encompass us, right? How big's your circle? Does it include your family? Does it include your friends? Does it include people in the church? Colleagues? Does it include our nation? Does it include other nations? Is it the world? See, the justice of God means that our circles get bigger and bigger. They include more and more people, but they include people especially not like us. And here's the thing. Our nation has taken on this principle since its foundation. If we are to say that we are a Christian nation, then we have to be a nation that does justice. Since the beginning, we were founded with this idea that we were a city built on a hill, and that understands and that we live out justice. John Winthrop, when he first arrived in what's now Massachusetts, he said, "We shall be a city on a hill. The eyes of the world will be on us." And in his famous City on a Hill speech, John F. Kennedy, he said, "Today the eyes of all people are truly upon us and our government in every branch, at every level, national, state, and local. We must be as a city upon a hill, constructed and inhabited by men aware of the great trust and their great responsibility." Kennedy's talking about this trust and this responsibility that's given to us by God. And Ronald Reagan, he even mentioned the city on the hill in his farewell address. He said, "In my mind, it was a tall, proud city built on rocks, stronger than the oceans, windswept, God-blessed, and teeming with people of all kinds, living in harmony and in peace, a city with free ports that hummed with commerce and creativity. And if there had to be any walls, the walls had doors, and the doors were open to anyone with the will and the heart to get here." The U.S. has seen itself as the protectors of the Western Hemisphere with the Monroe Doctrine. We have been drawing our circles wider and wider since our very beginning. And we have taken on this understanding of justice, not only for the people at our borders, but for the world. I don't know about you all, but often when I'm driving around, especially if I'm like coming from Stockton or if I'm coming from like the Los Banos area, I use Mount Diablo as a reference point. Anybody do that when they're driving around? I mean, right, it's so big and so huge that it makes a good guidance on how to get home. Well, friends, our country has set itself up as the greatest nation in the world, melding all sorts of Christian imagery and showing that how we as a nation are truly set as a city on a hill, that we are a reference point, that we are the place to get to. The Statue of Liberty, in its famous poem, in part it says, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, the tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp besides the golden door." Well, that lamp is the light of justice. Even with mass shootings and fires and some of the terrible social ills that we have in our society, we're a great nation. And there are tens of thousands of people wanting to enter our country because they have the audacity to believe what we've been telling the world since our beginning. This country is great, and we've been protected by veterans who know it, who died for it. So let us recognize that God is always calling us to draw bigger and bigger circles around ourselves, around our own personal social circles, but to include those that would be otherized. And our place is the church in all of this. Our place as the people of God in all of this is to act as consistent voice of inclusion. We are the ones who are called to constantly draw wider circles. We are the ones who are called to constantly bring others into God's kingdom. We are the ones who look at the widow and the orphan, those with no economic and social value according to the world, and we say that these are the ones who God cares for. These are the ones we're supposed to protect. See, friends, if we can't see Jesus in the poor, if we can't see Jesus in the homeless, if we can't see people in those who are mentally ill, if we can't see Jesus in the immigrant, in the lost, in those who are addicted to drugs, if we can't see Jesus in the least of these, we will not find him in the bread and the wine. Those aren't my words, by the way. It came from a saint in the second century. So, friends, may you be a voice for the voiceless. May you receive into your heart the widow, the orphan, the immigrant, the poor, the refugee, and the homeless. And may you be a messenger of love, drawing bigger and bigger circles to include God's people. Amen.